I'm Tom Rowe, and you've tuned into the Daily Congressional Report for WGXC and WOOC in Troy, covering what's going on today in the 19th congressional district election between Republican John Faso, Democrat Antonio Delgado, and others. The New York State Board of Elections released voter registration numbers November 1st, and the number of potential voters in the 19th congressional district is up this year. In the 2016 presidential election, there were 436,930 active voters. This year, there are 445,907, about 9,000 more. The difference is almost all in registration among Democrats. This year, there are 147,431 active registered Democrats, compared to 137,821 in 2016. Republicans this year number 138,774, slightly up from 137,656 in 2016. There is other evidence that more people will vote in this year's congressional election, November 6, between incumbent Republican John Faso, Democrat Antonio Delgado, Green Party candidate Stephen Greenfield, and independent Diane Neal. Virginia Martin, Columbia County's Democratic Election Commissioner, wrote on Facebook November 1 that absentee ballot requests are up from 1,800 in 2014 to 4,000 this year so far in Columbia County. Virtually every election analysis suggests that higher turnout will benefit Democratic candidates. More media endorsements keep rolling out before the vote, too. AllOstego.com endorsed Faso in the election, writing, quote, "As the new kid in D.C., he has ingratiated himself with his party's leadership by playing ball when necessary. Sensible people would consider that prudent if the country weren't so divided right now," unquote. The Columbia paper went with Delgado and took Faso to task for not criticizing racist ads on his behalf. Quote, "Our democracy survives on slender threads, and John Faso has weakened them more than he can imagine. His constituents needed moral leadership, and he gave us blame, saying he was the victim when he was challenged about the ads," unquote, their editorial states. The Columbia paper also reports that, quote, "The combined spending by the Delgado and Faso campaigns, plus their outside supporters, totaled $22.5 million. Mr. Delgado led Representative Faso in overall spending by about $4 million, unquote. Chronogram magazine counts which candidate has the most Twitter followers. Neal, a famous actress, leads that contest with nearly 100,000 followers, to Delgado's 14,000 and Faso's 7,000. Delgado has one more public event listed on his website before the election. The Democrat will be at Chatham Brewing in Columbia County at 2 p.m. November 3rd. Faso has not listed any events on his public schedule in his congressional website for months and does not list any on his campaign website either. Currently, most election analysts are calling the vote a dead heat. The Cook Political Report, 538.com, and the Center for Politics all call the race a toss-up, while Inside Elections says the district currently tilts Democratic. Here's another excerpt from the WAMC debate that was held on October 22nd between all four candidates.
Our fourth question is also for me, and it goes to Diane Neal. You are best known as an actor at a time when there is some backlash against celebrity candidates in American politics. You and your opponent, Steve Greenfield, are viewed by some observers of this race as potential spoilers. What specifically makes you qualified to serve in Congress?
This is a really good question. First of all, just in my own industry, there's a distinction between reality entertainers and then actors. One is a skill, one is selling the narrative of your personal life, artificial or otherwise. So it's all right. Real actors are always like, ugh. Reality stars. But I'm an accidental actor. I am more than anything, I am a human that loves this planet and has studied everything. And I've gotten the opportunity to live everywhere, experience so many incredible things. And if you're just going by the Constitution, I'm the right age and I live in the right place to run for this office. But more importantly, I love it here. And the interesting thing that people don't understand is, like, when you're an actor, you're a small business. I'm a self-employed, technically, and I have pumped lots of money into the economy. I employ all kinds of other people. You expand. You have to deal with all the things like the double taxation that most people in the gig economy that are self-employed have to deal with, the lack of health insurance. Where are you going to get it? These are incredibly important things. And then also, too, because I've had this great opportunity, one random thing about having a broken back is I've gotten to go back to school, and I've gotten to take everything I've ever wanted to take, from national defense strategy and policy, from the Naval War College and Harvard Kennedy School, to environmental sciences, to you name it, anything you could know, things that will help our district, because that's all that really matters, doing what's best for the district. So as far as the spoiler, you know what, our district, the largest voting bloc are unaffiliated voters, so technically I'm not spoiling anything.
Thank you, Diane Neal. Same question similarly to Steve Greenfield. Excuse me, I'm sorry. It goes to Antonio Delgado. My apologies. What makes you qualified to serve in Congress?
Yes, it's a very important question. I think as I've looked at the trends in D.C. and I look at how we have too many folks in Congress right now who've made a career out of being a politician, and I've kind of lived now in this bubble of divisiveness and partisanship and use it to exploit working families. We need people who have diverse experiences, who have actually not grown up in that political bubble and can bring some different perspectives and have the ability to work across the aisle in a genuine way. Now, my life is a plethora of diverse experiences. I grew up, as I noted, in Schenectady, working class family, went to Colgate, played basketball there, Division I, by the way, upstate New York Basketball Hall of Fame, and was able to then go from there to law school and then ultimately go off to LA and work in the hip-hop community, then come back and work as a litigator in the commercial space. I have worked with all types of individuals, all types of backgrounds, from different walks of life. And what we need right now more than ever are individuals who have that life experience, who are not career politicians, who are determined to do the work, to be solutions-oriented, to be thoughtful and diligent, and to be basing their conclusions on facts and on science. And that is what I think I can bring to bear now more than ever. And all of that diversity of experience is grounded right here at home. It is grounded in those values that my parents instilled in me when I was coming home as a latchkey kid and I was told daily, get your homework done before we get home.
Thank you for your answer. Congressman Fassel, I'll just kind of tweak the statement for you and say, what would make you qualified to continue serving in Congress?
Well, Allison, thank you for that question. I think my record, I've got a record of bipartisanship, ranking 18th out of 435, and I think that's what people want in this very polarized time. My own background, as I mentioned, Mary Frances and I have lived and worked in our community for 35 years. I grew up with a working class family and a household where my dad was a TV repairman and the janitor at the local Catholic school that I went to. We worked hard. I went to SUNY Brockport. I got there and paid for my tuition that first year on the strength of my Regents Scholarship. I went to law school at Georgetown in Washington, D.C. At night, 4 years, five nights a week, have to work during the day to pay for it. And so I understand what families go through when they are wondering if they have enough money to pay the bills every month. And that's what my family was when we were growing up. But we were happy and we all believed in the American dream and we believed in this country. And that's really what fundamentally motivates me today. I like to be able to solve problems on behalf of people, whether they're farmers in our district, whether they're volunteer fire companies, whether it's the hospital down in Sullivan County that needed the money for a new emergency generator, whether it's a veteran in the Capital Region who for 17 years was denied his disability benefits he was entitled to. We cut through that and we got him his disability benefits. So I enjoy the opportunity to serve. I'm deeply committed to this Constitution, the rule of law, free speech, the freedom of religion, and the American way.
Thank you, Congressman. Steve Greenfield, now the question to you.
Great, thank you. No, I fundamentally do not believe that Congress of the United States is an entry-level position. I appreciate the ability of bringing an outside perspective to something, but that's why I started at school board, and I served two terms there. I am not bipartisan, I am nonpartisan. That was the great success of school board activity, is that party affiliation had nothing to do with it. It wasn't even on the ballot. And so that's what I'd like to bring to Congress, but it's really not an entry-level position. You need some experience legislating, researching, speaking to other people, making compromises, and getting that legislation implemented. And so, you know, I've been involved in education issues at the federal level and many other issues, environmental issues, as well as having this experience, and I think that makes me qualified. I do want to speak very aggressively to this issue of spoiling, because it comes up all the time, and I reject it utterly. First of all, the biggest group is not people who are not affiliated with any party. The biggest group is people who don't vote at all. People who don't vote at all in this district outnumber people who do, and either winning party by a 2-to-1 margin. I'm not running as a threat to any major party, but I am running as a threat to war, poverty, climate change, starvation, wages, and high taxes. If anyone takes that as a threat to either of the major party candidates, then you need to bring that to those major party candidates and not to me. I'm here to run for Congress.